Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Families have a lot going on. Let Ollie help manage the mental load with new cognitive health supplements for everyone 4 and up, like delicious Ollie Focus Pops or Ollie Mellow Pops for kids. And for parents, try 3 new Brainy Chews to help you focus, chill out, or get energized. Find these cognitive health buddies for the whole fam at Ollie.com. That's OLLY.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Before we jump into the episode, we wanted to tell you that we have written a book.
It's called Have You Tried This? And it's out now.
It's a one-stop shop to self-care featuring only the very best of what we have learned over 4 years of living and experimenting with all that the wellness world has to offer.
Plus a load of new practices written just for the book. And the best thing?
Every single practice in the book is completely free, and every practice in there really will improve your mental health and well-being.
Link is in our show notes.
Hello, I'm Nicole Goodman.
And I'm Lauren Mishcon, and welcome to a very special episode of Self Care Club as we celebrate a remarkable milestone. It is our 500th episode.
That is remarkable.
I know.
I've sat and talked to you for 500 episodes.
That's just the recorded conversations we've had.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. Don't you? They say that to be an expert on something, you have to have done it for 10,000 hours to be an expert.
So you're saying you're an expert at me?
I think I'm nearly an expert at you. Yeah.
I think I'm an expert on you.
I think when we do our reels this week to celebrate this, one of them is going to be that we have to do impressions of each other, and I think I'm going to kill it.
You are going to kill it.
Yeah. I think you are too.
Okay. But that is not what our show's about today. So since March in 2020, that is when we first started.
It is.
Isn't it? When we first released our show, Joe Wicks is my new boyfriend.
That was our very first show.
Back in COVID.
Oh, what fun days.
We have delved into the world of self-care like no other and have explored the weird and wonderful things that the world of wellness has to offer.
Yes, and we've divulged everything that happened with you in our own brutally honest way. We've shared all the stories of everything that we explored and tried.
Yep.
And we hope that we have inspired, enlightened, and if not, just entertained you for 4 years.
Or some of you.
Yes.
Some people might be new to the show. If you are, then welcome. There are 500 more to go and listen to. But we've got a really special show planned for you today, which we're going to tell you about in a minute. But before we jump into that, I wanted to know, Lauren, about some of your standout moments. Like what have been, because we've been doing this for 4 years now, haven't we? Just literally exactly 4 years.
Yes.
Yeah. What have been your highs, your lows? What are some things that really stand out in your mind?
I think our trips.
Yeah.
Our travels.
Yeah.
That's what stands out a lot to me. I would have to say a high, definitely being in Paris with you in the blazing sunshine.
That was a wonderful few days.
It was a fucking delight, let's just say.
It was. And we were paid to be there. It was even better.
It was great.
Yeah.
And then a low, another travel thing, when we went to the Dreaming Retreat in Wales and I had a toddler tantrum in a wood.
Now, that's funny that you say that because that was definitely one of my highs. Your toddler tantrum is one of the best moments of my 47 years.
I think you loved that because it was so unlike me.
Yeah, it was you unravelling.
Totally. I feel like I went to this retreat as a really kind of sane, put together, very stable woman. And by the end of day two, I had completely
unravelled.
It was so mental what went on there. And if you haven't listened, it's a two-part episode called The Dreaming. And if you haven't listened to that, then you may want to.
we go into later on in this episode, we're going to talk to Anna about our favourite practices, our worst practices, our weirdest ones. Mm. So it's nice just to reflect on the actual moments that stand out for both of us.
What stands out for you?
I think some of the achievements that we've hit have been really amazing and really special to me. All the awards we've been nominated for, each time they've been just such a lovely reminder of we're actually doing a good thing.
Yeah.
Because podcasting can be quite relentless and it can be quite lonely sometimes. And thank God I've got you, because I don't know how podcasters do it on their own.
I've no idea. Because even if you have a guest, like then the guest goes and you're still just left alone with you and your pod.
And your ideas and your content planning and all of it. And there's so much that goes on in building a podcast that I would never want to have done it on my own. I did do it on my own beforehand, didn't I? And it wasn't nearly as much fun. And I wasn't nearly as successful as I have been with this one. So they've been great. The time we went to number one, that was amazing.
That was amazing. That was great.
And that was quite early on.
Yeah.
So it was all very new for us. That was absolutely standout. And the lows, I don't really have any lows. I don't think there's anything that I've really hated. But I think the biggest high has just been getting to know you and getting closer to you.
That's cute.
Well, it's true, isn't it?
We have had like the best fun. We have.
We really have. And to give it a little bit of transparency, we are currently sitting in my cupboard.
We are.
In my house.
Yes.
Because it's the smallest room place in the house.
Yes.
And for sound quality. And there's no one else. Why are you laughing?
You know, it's like 4 years of an award-nominated podcast.
Numerous. We've been nominated for 5 awards.
We're authors.
Are the book.
We've been at number one. And here we are, celebrating in a cupboard.
But you know what? We're together.
But we're happy.
We are so happy. And you know, there is no one I'd rather sit in a cupboard with. And we had this conversation off air, didn't we?
We did.
Would we prefer to sit with our husbands, our kids? Is there any other friends that we would like to sit in the cupboard with? I mean, I could sit in with a couple of my other friends.
Yeah.
But really, I'm very happy.
Me too.
And so the biggest thing that has come out of all of it is you.
Ditto. Yeah. We have done more stuff with each other than we've done with any one other living person on earth, basically. We've tried everything.
And so, in celebration of this 500th episode, which actually happened a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
So we're a little bit late, but we did want to bring a proper celebration to the show. We're actually celebrating all week, aren't we?
Yeah, we're going to give you an entire week of daily shows. And we did reach out and ask you for your favourite classics.
Which we've ignored.
Sometimes we've ignored some of them. We can't release Fabbing again. I'm sorry, Clubbers. Yeah. You're welcome to go back and listen to it as many times as you like, but we can't keep re-releasing that show. I know it was a special highlight.
And if you haven't listened to the Fabbing show, then by all means, do.
So we've plucked out the episodes that we feel are classics, for want of a better word, from the archives.
Classic shows. So make sure you listen to them, you tune in for them this week, and they are being released every day until Saturday.
Every day until Saturday. A couple of funny ones, a couple of serious ones, but you know, we've got one with the quiz. We always love a quiz. We've got some step-by-step program ones. We've got some ones that are just chaos and madness.
And a lot of them are real vintage shows.
Yeah, they are. So enjoy.
So if you are new to the club, welcome. You're going to get such a treat this week, and we're absolutely delighted to have you here. If you have been listening to us from the start, then we are absolutely grateful for you, and thank you for your loyalty, and thank you for being here. And here is our 500th episode.
Okay, so I am so excited to be the one in the interviewing chair for a change, because I've come on your podcast a couple of times. So Lauren and Nicole, I have got so many questions to ask you to celebrate episode 500 of the Self Care Club. That's like
a lot.
That is a lot, isn't it?
I'll tell you what else it's a lot of. It's a lot of self-care.
And it's a lot of hours spent together.
Well, we've gotten to know each other on this podcast.
I've done more with you than I've done with anybody else I've ever known.
Think back to the first episode that you did. Do you feel like different people now. I mean, I know time and life experience and all of that will have come between episode one and 500, but has it changed you?
Well, the first episode we ever did, it started in the pandemic, right at the beginning of the pandemic. And a couple of things to take into consideration. We didn't know each other. So we'd met three times, maybe four at a push. So firstly, the first show was done, it must have been done remotely.
Yeah, I mean, it puts it into such perfect timing when I tell you it was called My Boyfriend is Joe Wicks. And if you remember back to Pee with Joe in lockdown, that was when the first episode was.
So we did the first show with doing his workout every morning, which was great. But also when we jumped on to record, if I think now how we jump on to record and how well we know each other and how in sync we are with each other, back then I didn't know anything that was going to come out of her mouth. I didn't even know if she liked to exercise or not. I didn't know anything about this.
You know now.
I didn't know anything about this woman and she didn't know anything about me. No. And what's very sweet in the first 2 years of the show, because we've been going 4 years, is that you can really hear us learning about each other and getting to know each other and hear our relationship growing.
Yes. And now you'll just say, you know, the thing, and I'll go, yeah. Like, you just say the first half of the sentence and I know exactly what the second half is.
That is amazing. So it's been a journey of many things, and one of them being friendship. I'm assuming friendship. We're still friends. Still, yeah. Good.
Oh, great. Friendship.
It's like a sisterhood.
I pine for her now when she leaves the
country. Yeah.
Last summer, Lauren, I was away quite a lot, and Lauren was, and our summer holidays clashed. And the day that the day that you got back, I left. So we didn't see each other the whole summer. And by the end of the summer, Lauren was in a terrible state.
And my husband was like, when is she back?
Amazing. So for those who do not know, tell us how it came about then. So you didn't know each other, and I didn't know this. How did it come about that you started the self-care club? What's the story?
Everyone assumes we're childhood friends.
Of course.
No, we're not. We didn't meet till we were in our 40s. And we were introduced by a mutual friend who just had a feeling that we would get along. And she was correct.
She was right.
Well, I had my own podcast that I was doing on my own. And Lauren had a radio show. And both of them were based on women's well-being. And she said, oh, you should host on each other's shows. So we did. She came on my podcast and I went on your radio show. And it wasn't like it was this, you know, amazing instant chemistry between us. I liked her, she liked me. The first thing I thought of Lauren was, oh my God, she is so opinionated and I really like it. Yeah. I just felt that she was very forthright and very formidable and very strong-minded, and I was a touch intimidated but also curious about it. And then Lauren, a couple of weeks after I'd guested on her radio show, called me up and said, I just want to ask you a question about podcasting. Can we meet for a coffee? So I said, sure. So we met, and she never did ask me what she wanted to ask.
I didn't even know what I was going to ask you.
It was a ruse to get another meeting in.
And we basically, it was like a blind date that I didn't know I was on. And we basically moaned the entire time about the woman's mental load. Mm. That is what we moaned about, and how difficult it was and how challenging it was. And how even self-care and taking care of yourself had become another part of the mental load. And where are you supposed to even start if you want to look after yourself? And then we left the coffee, we went our separate ways, and about 20 minutes later, she called me up, which, knowing Laura now, is the most unlike her thing to have done, and said, I've got a great idea for a show.
Do you want to do it with me? She was like, yeah. And now she says, you would just never ring a stranger up and ask them to do a podcast with you. You don't like anyone. I'm like, I know. I don't know why. What happened? It just was the right thing.
Yeah. And that was how it began.
That was it.
We then got signed pretty quickly with a production company. From the day that the idea was born, there was such an energy behind it. We both knew that it was a goer. We both knew that it was going to be something.
I went into this production company and Nicole was away.
And so she came in on Zoom, and it was a whole room full of men. And I went in alone, and we Zoom in, and she's on a balcony in a robe and a hair towel.
It's in a bathrobe, just got
bathrobe, right? And this is how she conducted.
That's amazing.
And the men were like, they just didn't know what to say, but they kind of loved it. And it was so out there.
Looking back to that moment, we would never, ever set up a meeting with if the other one wasn't in the country. A meeting of that magnitude, never.
It was so out there. They were like, great, this is a great idea.
And so we signed with them. So really, we didn't know each other. And instantly, we were met with like lawyers' contracts. And I had to get my own lawyer, and Lauren had to get her own lawyer. And we had to, you know, sign an agreement between the two of us, and it was actually quite complicated. And to do that with someone you really don't know was quite difficult. And then at the end of it, it was like, wow, that was smooth.
It was meant to be. And so serendipitous, and the fact that both of you did things rather out of character, or that you would not have normally done, rocked up to a meeting having just come out of the shower and made that phone call, Lauren. Never. That was not you.
No, it's very odd, but definitely meant to be.
Meant to be. And you have been through so many things that I imagine that you never probably would have even thought to try. I mean, some of the things that you have tried, and well, I mean, I've got a list that Lauren accidentally sent me, the whole list of practices. Yeah, and there are some here that I don't even quite know what they are. So you must have learned so much, but I would love to hear. What has been your strangest practice for each of you, where you thought, really?
I'm thinking of a few. When we were whipped by Russian men, very hot sauna with birch leaves.
That was weird.
And then they basically did exactly what I just said, and it was boiling hot. And then they march you out of the sauna, and then they chuck an ice cold bucket of water over your head. And then they send you into this freezing cold plunge pool, and you sort of sit there like, I think I feel amazing. I don't know what's just happened. Did I just agree to that? Questioning your life choices is the weirdest, most exhilarating thing.
That was very weird. Cuddle therapy, very weird, cuddling with a professional cuddle therapist. We did it with two stand-up comedians. We wrote them in. And did it with them. That was also weird. Whole thing weird.
I was more worried about having to cuddle one of them than I was about cuddling the therapist. And then you and I had a cuddle, didn't we?
What kind of cuddle? Because I'm assuming this isn't just a quick...
Oh, I mean, we didn't do the full thing, because the full thing ends up with, like, you can spoon on the floor.
No. I mean, I'm having a physical reaction to this, is your talk. And I can see that you are as well.
Yeah.
There's really some inhibitions being challenged here. Like whipping with the, you know, just having to really be in it, and the cuddling kind of just having to being forced to kind of, or I guess you're choosing to with all of these practices, and some of them will have probably given you that kind of visceral response that even being challenged to do them.
The more uncomfortable we felt about doing it, the better the podcast episode was going to be.
Oh yeah.
Because at the heart of everything, we're making a podcast. So there were certain things that, you know, our listeners would write in and say, oh, can you try this? Or can you try that? And then we'd talk about it and be like, it's not going to create good content. So there was loads more stuff that we can and could have tried, but it all boils down to, is this going to bring something to the listener? Is it going to improve their self-care? Is it going to make them laugh? Like all of the questions, does it hit them? And if it was, you know, let's say, for example, something like reflexology, which I adore, it doesn't translate into a show.
Yeah.
So
we're always striking the balance, because there are some fairly obvious things like that, and like aromatherapy, and what's the other one that we never did that was really obvious? Like some very common, like self-carey things that just were never going to make a podcast. So we didn't bother with them, and that was kind of why.
Well, we learned that early on, that we would make the show, and then when we would listen back, it was like, no, that's not going to make the cut. And there's still a few in the archives, aren't there? Cupping, that never made.
Oh yeah, that's
we never
true.
Released. There's a couple that we never released. Mm.
But some of these are really common and known and comfortable, aren't they? And people have tried them or known people that have. But I think the beautiful thing about what you often do is, yeah, that challenging yourself to try these things. Which one? I'm sure there are many of them, but are there practices that you have now implemented as part of your life that previously they weren't even on your radar?
I still go to craniosacral therapy. I go once a month now. And I still cannot tell you what it does, how it works, why it works. I ask the therapists every time, what is this weird, witchcrafty, non-medical, non-woo-woo, non-energy healing, but it feels like that. What is it? And they're like, we don't know how it works. So they don't know, I don't know, but I still go and I like it. And also micro connections. I did it before. I did it for the show.
We never did it for the book.
Tell us a little bit about that.
A micro connection is a very short interaction that you might have with your postman or a person that you pass on your dog walk or the person standing behind you in the post office queue. And it's just a few moments out of your day. Has a little
lot of chat. Scenarios about the post office.
You know, there is, in all seriousness, a horrendous loneliness epidemic in this country. And although we've sort of never been more connected via all this social media and phones and technology, actually a lot of people are really, really lonely. And it does add a little boost of oxytocin and goodness to everyone's day, including your own, when you take just 2 minutes to have a chat with somebody, especially an elderly person, because as we say in the book, you don't even know that might be the only conversation they have that whole day. And it's nothing for me to have a 2 minute chat with somebody, and that might really make a difference to how they feel that day. So for me, that is just a tiny, tiny, basic, but very powerful practice.
Micro connection, something that we can always do. And I think it's one of those things that makes us realize how much of a difference we can make as well when we see that person responding. And that's good for us, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Nicole, I would love to ask you that very same question. What of all the different practices that you've tried to this point have you initially thought, I'm not sure about this one, but now it's just integrated for you?
The one that I use all the time and I have to keep stepping into it is asking for what you want. It was so hard for me to stand up what I want, to ask what I want, to admit what I want. And I think for a lot of women, it is the same story. And just doing some research around it on how men are so much more conditioned to be able to ask what they want over women. And we write about this in the book as well. And there are so many amazing, interesting studies on it that women come across as they're seen as aggressive or they're seen as pushy or they're seen as anything negative in just simply asking for what they want. But men are seen as assertive and forthright. And having that practice, and we did a step program in the show of how to ask for what you want, and I still follow it to this day, because the thing is that if you ask, you are 100% more likely to get it than if you don't. So yeah, they are some amazing odds, really. And the worst that happens if you ask for what you want and you don't get it is that you stay exactly where you are. You actually have nothing to lose. So I often have to have that mental talk to myself of, right, come on, just ask. Nothing bad is going to happen here, but you have everything to gain. Has been utterly life-changing.
Wow. So the things that would have come from that will have maybe even changed the course of your life, that had you not started challenging yourself to do so. And I love that about both of you, is that you share so candidly your own responses and struggles with these things. And it's so empowering, because I bet you hear from people all the time that have taken that step to put these things into practice. So it's like a the most powerful knock-on effect.
Wellness or self-care or looking after your well-being, however you want to phrase it, it's not a straight road, and it can be really choppy, and it could be really clunky, and it could be really messy. So we hope that in us sharing that, you take a generic practice, for example, something like meditation. You have these amazing meditation teachers online, on YouTube, on anywhere you go, there's books on it. But sometimes it's not easy just to sit down for 5 minutes and just meditate. In fact, it can be almost impossible for some people, me and Lauren included.
So it's all very well to have these experts telling you why you should meditate, how you should meditate, why you need to do it twice a day, and how easy it is and how good for you it is. But actually, in that messiness of just trying to carve out those 5 or 10 minutes to sit down, there's a lot of juice there, and there's a lot of fun, and there's a lot of, we hope people can just relate to that.
I would love to know also, when you started the podcast 500 episodes ago, what did you think about self-care, and what has changed in how you feel and what you think of when you hear the term self-care now?
I think I came to it thinking most of it was a pile of pooper. I have come out of it feeling that many things that cost a lot of money and that are shoved down our throat everywhere are still a pile of pooper. But now I know this because I've tried them. And also, some of the things may make you feel better for 10 minutes, 1 hour, 2.5 hours, but then you'll go back to feeling precisely how you felt before you did it. So that's kind of where I've come out. I came in cynical. I've come out possibly even more cynical because now I truly understand how many charlatans there are out there telling you that you have to spend £75, £100, £300 on this life-changing item. And the thing is, no one item is going to change your life.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm going to ask you the next question about what is the biggest waste of money. But before that, I'd love to hear from you.
I don't think mine has changed as such. If I think back to what I was leaning on as coping mechanisms 4 years ago to now, they're pretty much the same. It's a lot of the internal work. I rely on exercise very heavily. I always did back then, and I still do. Jumping on the back of what Lauren said, there isn't one product, not one, that I can't live without, or something that we tried, not one. But the things that have stayed with me are things like asking for what you want, learning how to say no, how to stand up for yourself, knowing when to speak up, knowing when not to. All of the mind shift, the mindset work, the internal work is so important, not only to your mental health, but also your physical health. I think it absolutely fundamentally aids you in every area of your life. So I don't know if it's changed so much, but I think it's just solidified what I believed 4 years ago, and the fact that we have tried it all now, that I can really stand on that and say, yeah, this is the stuff that works.
And it's that internal stuff, which is actually a hell of a lot cheaper. And you're doing this so that we can save the cash. We can save the time of trying these things. But I would love to know, what is the absolute biggest load of tosh, the biggest waste of money that you would love to say, you know what, just don't even go there?
Number one crap product, I'd say, was the toxic vampire spray that we bought from, not from Goop, but it is a Goop product. And it is basically water with a few little stony crystal bits. You spray it around and it's supposed to what? Cleanse
your aura.
The aura and get rid of any toxicity around you. I think it's about 40 quid. So yeah. We also did the first ever, and I think maybe the last ever, sound bath for dogs.
The first and the last sound bath for dogs.
Yes, because it's not a thing. And the reason it's not a thing is because it just doesn't work. You've got candles, you've got dogs' tails too near the candles, you've got treats, you've got one dog fighting the other dog, a teenage dog that is like out of it was, yeah, it's not a thing.
I tell you what else I don't think is a thing. I don't think cacao is a thing.
I agree.
Because when you drink cacao, you drink it ceremonially.
Yeah.
So you'll sit down in a circle and you'll be with other women and it's a whole build up to the drinking of the cacao. And then you all talk and you close your eyes and you meditate, or there'll be a facilitator there. And that's a thing. I get that. How is, if I'm literally just rushing around and just doing my normal morning and I'm drinking cacao instead of my morning cup of coffee, I just don't see how that is going to open my heart. And it's a mindset shift, not the actual product.
Agreed.
I mean, it's mindful and you drink it mindfully. Well, that's the ceremony that we did anyway. And I was so excited to do this. But if Lauren and I just sat down and wanted to sit there and meditate for a bit and then talk about how we feel about something and then sip on a lovely cup of green tea. I'm sure it would have exactly the same effect.
People don't say rosé, glass of rosé. The other thing we did that I don't think we'll ever forget for as long as we live is we did past life regression therapy, which I have wanted to do all my life. I mean, I was so up.
We never released the episode.
We couldn't release.
Did we release the episode?
I don't think
we did.
I don't think we ever released it. We couldn't because we just couldn't. But essentially, I went first. I do feel like I was sort of pressured into just making shit up.
We both were.
And then I couldn't look at Nicole. I could not look her in the eye. I just had to finish the session, turn my back to her and say, okay, I'm going home now. You do your session. And because I just knew I would not recover.
This woman was not, she was
not normal.
And then she said, I remember I went in because you're supposed to sort of like hypnotize you. And then you jump into these timelines. And I said, oh, I think I'm my husband. You know, that's wrong. You can't be your husband. I'm like, okay, I'm my cousin. I mean, I was literally making stuff up of where I was.
What year is it? And we were both like, 1872. What century is it? Are you a man or a woman? I'm a man.
This episode is sponsored by Horizon Studios.
If you're travelling this year and looking for high quality, sustainable and beautifully designed luggage, then look no further than Horizon Studios, who've launched two new ranges. The RE Series, the world's most sustainable 97% recycled luggage, and now the revolutionary Air Series, the world's lightest high-end suitcase.
If you have airport anxiety, worrying about the weight of your case when it goes on those scales, then the Air Series is for you, and it is definitely for me. The Air Series pushes the boundaries of travel. Each detail is designed and engineered to combine an ultralight and durable product. It's significantly lighter than regular suitcases. Thank goodness, Lauren, that is brilliant. And it comes with a lifetime warranty because the most sustainable suitcase is the one that you only buy once. We used the cases to go to Paris and Wales last year, and as chronic overpackers, we could still wheel them around with ease.
We could. Ultra light and compact, the Air Series is made from a premium polycarbonate hard shell with reduced thickness and a recycled lining. It's 100% vegan and produced in a way that is 99% waste-free, blending design and function seamlessly. So, Nicole, you can pack those extra 5 pairs of shoes with no stress.
The entire range is available on the Horizon Studios website and in all leading department stores. Just go to www.horizon-studios.com.
Horizon Studios, let's go further.
This week we are sponsored by Notion.
Why do we love Notion? Because it brings our ideas to life. It's like having access to tomorrow's tools today by combining all our research scripts and notes into one simple space with the added power of AI built right inside, not a separate AI tool or browser tab.
I used it the other day to plan all our social content for the next 3 months. It's made what's usually a really long, daunting task super quick, simple and streamlined, leaving us with more time and energy to focus on what truly matters, which is bringing self-care to the listeners and less stress for us.
Notion is a place where any team can write, plan, organise and rediscover the joy of play. And the Notion AI turns that knowledge into action. It can answer any question in seconds, summarise your meeting notes and keeps you completely organised. If you can think it, you can make it. It's become an integral part of our podcasting toolkit and we're calling it self-care.
Try Notion for free when you go to notion.com/self-care club.
That's all lowercase letters, notion.com/self-care club, and start turning ideas into action. And when you use our link, you're supporting our show.
notion.com/self-care club.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Because I guess you must have some people every now and again who come to you and they say, you didn't find that helpful, but past life regression for me has been a life changer and it's amazing, or cacao literally transformed my life. So how do you respond when people have practicing these things and for them they are the game changer?
No, it's great for us because I love the feedback, but also if they find something that they feel really works for them, that is wonderful. There are a lot of people who would tell you that cranial sacral therapy is absolute nonsense. For me, it works, but I'm not going to bash a practice that someone genuinely feels helps them, whether that is it genuinely does, whether that's
it does, but it doesn't matter, does it? No. Because it's helping them anyway.
Yeah.
And I know there are a lot of people that absolutely swear by cacao, and I think that's brilliant. I just listen, there's a lot of people that don't exercise and they don't need it. I mean, I'm completely reliant and obsessed with it, so that's fine. I mean, we just want women to be well, and we just want them to find their corner of what makes them well and helps them get through life in as smooth a way as possible.
Listen, there will be women who will tell you that their self-care, and they genuinely feel better going to get their hair washed and blow-dried twice a week. That genuinely makes them feel put together, better, confident. Great. Like if that does something positive for them and it makes their day better and smoother and gets them through the week, brilliant.
Listen, every woman feels better when their hair is blow-dried.
Is it doing the work? Does it matter?
Yeah, maybe it's going back to that kind of that more internal, that actually sometimes the powerful thing about the practice of getting a hair blow-dried is saying, I am worthy of carving out this time for myself and prioritizing my need and my desire in this, be it, you know, getting the hair blow-dried or going to the gym. And that's that internal work, isn't it? Which I guess isn't so great for the wellness industry and the 40-pound Dracula spray or whatever it was, the vampire spray, but it's great for us because actually working on how we speak to ourselves, working on stepping up and speaking out is something that we don't have to pay for.
We just get to do that whenever we want, wherever we want, because it's ours. And once you've done that work, you're always going to have done that work. It will always be yours. And there's no one in the world that gets to take that away from you. That is deeply profound and empowering.
So saying that so many of the amazing self-care practices that you've put into place that have really transformed things, if there was one self-care practice that you were to financially invest in, what would that be?
I have two. One is a practice, one isn't. The first thing I would say is to have an EFT session with a trained EFT practitioner. And it stands for Emotional Freedom Technique, aka tapping. I think that was one of the most transformative practices that I did for myself. It allowed me to step into the things that I really wanted for myself. And it allowed me to let go of things without fear, without guilt. It was just, I couldn't believe that by tapping on these pressure points and saying at certain affirmations when I was tapping could be so liberating, and it just unlocked so much. So I would say that is a definite. And the second thing that I would always suggest, if you have money for one thing, for me, I would always recommend a gym membership, because it's not just going to the gym and lifting weights or doing a spin class. It's a community of people that are in the same mindset as you, on the same journey as you, and that can hold you accountable. It can help you reach your goals. It can be really fun. And there's nothing like community to help you get to the places that you want to get to.
Brilliant. Doing things alongside other people, having that accountability and that cheerleading when you're tired and you're needing that encouragement as well. Love that.
But the other thing that I am obsessed with, Nicole hates it, but I am obsessed with it, is decluttering. And I'm just thinking, if you are in a situation or in a house where you're not able to do that for yourself, I think it's money well spent to get someone in to help you do that, because once it's done, it's done. And then every single thing has its place. So it never gets, if it works well, it never gets messy again, because the wooden spoon has its place. Your car keys have their place. Everything has its place.
If you live on your own.
Listen, I live like that. I'm a total Marie Kondo convert.
I did clean my bedroom out and my daughter's bedroom out on Sunday, and it felt great. And every time I'm going into my where I do my makeup, it's all clear and clean, and I love it.
Yeah. For me, being tidy and decluttering is an absolute fundamental part of my self-care. I'm like, tidy space, tidy mind. It's how I keep sane and calm and together, is by having everything ordered and organized. It's really, really important to me. So I'm very into that, but not everyone is.
Yeah, I love that. And not everyone would invest finances in that. I mean, this is also, again, just that it shows a point of difference and how these different things can mean different things to each of you. Have you found something so far that one of you has loved and been full into, whilst the other has just been, this is a no, this is a no for me, I do not get it?
The mushroom tea.
Oh, well, I was going to say the couch to 5K.
Well,
it made me cry, and she did it by day two. So that was not great.
To be honest, listen, the couch to 5K, I train all the time. So, you know, if I can't run a 5K, then there's a problem with my training. So that's the first thing. And the second thing is, you know, exercise is not your thing.
No,
that's not how you find your calm and your center. It's how I find mine.
Yeah. And you hated the decluttering week. You hated
it.
And I've never had a better week. I mean, I was high as a kite. I've never been happier than spending a whole week cleaning out kitchen cupboards and alphabetizing spices. And like, it was like my dream.
No. But I think that's the difference between being neurodiverse and neurotypical.
So you've recognized that difference in the neurodivergence. So has that shaped your different approaches?
Well, I think over the last 4 years, ADHD has become a much more of a talking point, which is an amazing step forward. So it's allowed me, especially my daughter got diagnosed last January. So it then obviously made me naturally self-reflect on where she gets it wrong. And we didn't need to look very far. So it does inform a lot of things of why I find why we differ in certain aspects, like the paperwork and stuff like that. I just can't bear it. It just makes me stressed. Whereas Lauren just says, it's fine, I'll read it, I'll do it. So it really does aid our partnership, because I'll then find loads of energy for something and I'll be totally focused on it. And I get us both on board and I'm like, you know, the train that's pushing us forward. And that's totally part of my ADHD, just being that hyper focus. But we really are, and this is by chance, the yin to each other's yang. She is so good for me because she has taught me when to step back and when to be patient and when to just wait it out, which is just is the worst thing for me to do. But now I'm much better at it. And I think I've taught Lauren how to and when to push forward a bit more. Mm. And we always find our happy medium, and it comes in so handy that I know when to push and she knows when that we should just wait it out a bit. And it's been a brilliant partnership in that respect.
Mm. I'm very moderate and I'm very level. It's harder for me to kind of drive full pelt towards new things, because I'm always kind of on the same place. So I need a bit more of that energy. And so, and I'm quite stabilizing. So I think it's
very,
that's coincidental, and perhaps that's why we were drawn to each other without even knowing that. And I think that happens often in life, and often in marriage, and often in partnerships, isn't it? For reasons you know or don't know, you are drawn to a person who's going to bring that balance that you need in your own life. Right.
What an incredible learning. My husband's definitely a Lauren. I'm definitely a Nicole. But I'm interested then, with your different wirings, your different experiences with what you do to invest in yourself, how has your definition of what true self-care is changed over the last 500 episodes? And does that look different for each of you?
I think you would say that I've got better at things like having a difficult conversation. Would you say I've got better at things like that?
Yes, I think you've got better at, we're going to answer it for each other. Let's do that.
Yeah.
I think you,
brilliant.
I think you have got better at understanding that you matter too. And actually, bringing it full circle, it's something that you said to us on the podcast. And your words will always ring in my head of, it's my Christmas too, and my needs matter too. And I get to have Christmas Day too. Mm-hmm. And I think taking that in a bigger, more macro sense, mm-hmm. I think you've understood that you do matter, and your needs matter, mm-hmm. and the things that you want for matter, and standing in that matters. Mm-hmm. And actually, it's not just about the needs of your family or your parents or your friends, or putting everyone else's needs first, mm-hmm. and for you to just sit back and say, okay, well, I'll just be fine then. You've actually stood much more in that, and it's been an amazing thing to witness.
The martyrdom is it doesn't sit as well as easily as it used to do. Sacrificing yourself to the martyrdom of motherhood, you know, I think I am better at that sort of thing now. I think
you are.
Yeah,
you are. You have more self. Not that you didn't have self respect. So that's the wrong word. You have more self love. And I know you hate that term, but you do.
I do hate that term.
You don't like it. Self-respect, self-value in order to place yourself back into those situations, those events, those milestones, those life moments as an equal part of it.
Well, just this doesn't really work for me.
And there's always going to be those moments, isn't there, in life when something doesn't work for you, because you're human and you have a human response to things, and that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. But you've taught me a lot of that. I've watched it in you for a long time, and I've kind of picked up on that, and it's been better for me.
So Lauren, what do you think? How have you seen Nicole grow then over the last few years?
She's more introspective, less.
There's reactive.
More, yeah, a little less reactive. There's more kind of pause, reflect, deal with.
Totally.
Whereas before you would be like, deal with, now I'll reflect on it, now it's done.
She always says that. And as if I was like really destructive, which I wasn't, by the way. And I would never have big conflicts or big confrontations in my life. So it wasn't impacting me on a negative level. She's right. I am all of those things. But because I think it wasn't that I was so reactive, it's that I was reactive. And for you, who is so not reactive, to you, that was a real point of difference.
Yeah.
One of the first things that happened with this production company is they made this video that I hated, and it was about to go out on all our socials. I hated it. And Lauren was like, it's fine. I'm like, it is not fine, and it is not going out. It does not reflect what we do. It is shoddy and rubbish. And I had to have this, and I remember it so clearly, because I'm now with my partner who, A, we don't agree, and B, I don't know her very well. And I knew she didn't want me to say anything, but if I didn't say anything, then this video was going to go out, and I just didn't, it was just a...
And you were right.
Absolute no. So I had to deal with it in a way that was taking Lauren's feelings into consideration, but also standing my ground. And it was so clunky and so messy. And I think from that point on, you thought that I was very hot-headed. Didn't you?
You're just different to me. It's just different. We go through.
I know.
The world
we know that. We know
way.
That. We yeah. know that now. But at the time, I was thinking, oh my god, she's just not going to want to be my partner, and I had all these insecurities about
it. Want to play with me in the playground anymore?
But now we use our differences to the advantage of the show and the advantage of everything that we've created together, because we need it. We both need the differences.
Yeah, we very much do. And also, I think you're absolutely right. The longer we've got to know each other, the more able we are to utilize those in a really positive way.
Yeah,
but that's the power of it, isn't it? I think when you start becoming a little bit more comfortable being honest and open with one another, and maybe not so, we stop being defensive, don't we, as humans, because we actually learn that we're not maybe being attacked, and that difference doesn't have to be the end of something. It can give us confidence to let the other person step in where we might need them to.
But it's also very hard to be guarded when you are spending a week at a time practicing these things that sometimes bring up some uncomfortable stuff, or stuff you didn't really know was there, or in my case, stuff that I just don't want to talk about, but you kind of are forced to, because you're creating a podcast and you're living it, and it's very real. And we from day one never wanted to be experts, in inverted commas, sitting on this high horse telling everyone what's good, what's not, what they should do. Like, that's why the podcast was different from any other podcast we'd ever listen to, because every other podcast is, we know what we're talking about, and now we're going to tell you so you can learn. And we were like, we know shit, and we're testing everything out in real time, and we're just telling you truthfully how we got on with it. And that's different from each other, and that might be different from how anyone else gets on with it, but we're just living it and riding it and seeing what happens. So when you do that for so long in 500 different ways, you can only be who you can be. There is no kind of hiding or getting away or pretending to be anything else. You know, the mask, if you're wearing one, has to come off. There's no getting away from that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. And it gives people permission as a result to do the same. But I would love to know, to finish off, I would love to know what are your plans for the future? What are your plans for the future of the podcast? Obviously, you've got your book, Have You Tried This? So you've got so many amazing generous episodes and resources out there. But what's next?
Well, we are launching a new show. That's all in the works at the moment. So we're just in the midst of setting that up. It's called 40-ish. And it's going to be about midlife, and it's going to be fun and entertaining and very lighthearted. So it's slightly different to the Self-Care Club. And we will be answering listeners' dilemmas, questions, rants, whatever they want to bring us. We're going to unpick it all. And I hope there's another book in the midst.
There'll be another book.
We're shifting around Friday's show a little bit to be more reflective of the book, Have You Tried This? So stay tuned for that. There's a lot happening, isn't there?
Yeah. Having a little, like, we've done 500. We feel like we've completed self-care.
We're having a spring clean.
Yeah. This year's practices and this year's shows have been more general because there's a lot of stuff that we can't actually practice, but we really want to talk about. So we've sort of shifted away from experimenting with everything so that we're able to just have conversations about stuff that we can't necessarily test.
And
that's been fun.
Yeah, it's been great.
Oh, so lots to look forward to. That's going to be absolutely amazing, 40-ish. I'm moving towards that stage, so I'm grateful that you're going to be racking up some episodes for me to binge. But thank you for all of the things that you have tried so that we might not waste our time, all of the questions that you've asked yourself, the times that you've spent reflecting, challenging yourselves and each other's, the vulnerable conversation, the really honest candid responses that you've really generously and vulnerably shared with us. We're just so grateful.